Pollard, the running back. Tavon Austin in motion, coming to the left. And they will pitch it right to Austin. He's got a first down. 15, cuts it to 10. Running to the 5, to the pylon. Touchdown, Tavon Austin.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
That's right, you just heard it there. Tavon Austin is still a pro football player, believe it or not. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Presented as always by our pals at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Go get you some of those. Our pal Matt Money Smith, who is with us and is with us every Wednesday for our video and audio podcast. Also, the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers, on hand for a heartbreaker, a really devastating loss that you wonder how those Chargers are going to come back from as the football gods continue to smote them via injury. And now we hear Forrest Lamp is out, the latest injury, out for the season for the Chargers. So we have to talk about them a little bit. The Dallas Cowboys, a big bounce back after some legitimate questions now in the crosshairs, I imagine, in the local market there. The Philadelphia Eagles, we foretold that Carson Wentz at least would be under heaps and heaps of pressure in 2019. So far, it looks like he is suffering a little bit from that. I don't want to put it all on him. Obviously, the secondary in Philadelphia has something to do with that team being 3-4. Much to talk about. Let's break it all down for you right now with our main man all the way from London, England. He's our sort of resident Miami Dolphins fan. He's kind of checked out, to be fair. He's also with us on our video podcast, which you can track down on YouTube every week and streaming. Right, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass. I always get confused. Streams, and Handsome tells me it's going to be on Game Pass soon.
I believe we're.
Is that true, Handsome?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done anything about it. But
is it going to be on Game Pass? Come on, put it on. Why don't you let the people
Fine,
see it?
I will. I'd love to.
We're in the process of doing that. It's on Pluto TV. It streams.
Pluto. They have TV on Pluto.
Yes.
That's right. But not on planet Earth.
It's NFL.com homepage. It streams. The NFL app, it streams. It's also on the NFL podcast YouTube page. And
lots of places you can't find it.
Trying to think where else. Maybe something. Well, hopefully soon, Game Pass.
Anyway.
International. Yeah. Eddie, not Game Pass domestic. Game Pass for our international fans. I just want to be clear on what I'm serving up here.
But however you want to couch it, the person whose voice you just heard there and the person I'm talking about is our resident Miami Dolphins fan, is Handsome Hank.
Hi, Dave.
You forgot about you have a song here?
Yeah.
Here it is. You want to hear it all?
Nope.
You know what? It's my show. I'll do what I want. Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Dave. It's exciting for me to be on your Monday show.
On the Monday show.
Because normally, like, I feel like the Wednesday one is a little frivolous. It's light, you know, high entertainment, low in terms of what, you know, the substance. Mm-hmm. I'm here today to really break things down.
Post-game football analysis. Winners, losers, exactly. Hit the bricks, punch someone in the mouth, or, you know what, punch him in the throat. Mark Schlereth. Raised the stakes on Sunday. If you
the
heard
mouth,
that.
Yeah,
it's always been come out and punch him in the mouth. And I've always, you know, I don't want to, you know, be Pollyanna about it or anything. You know,
it
do what you got.
Much.
Well, I mean, it's
you
mean on a human level.
You literally get ejected from a game if you do punch someone in the mouth.
That's the more immediate concern. Right. Yes, it's mean to go around punching anybody for any cause, but doing it in an NFL game is sure to draw a yellow flag.
Right.
Hefty suspension, and you're gonna
get ejected from the game. You're gonna cost your team. In fact, you're letting your teammates down.
Mark Schlereth won Super Bowl, so I guess he knows. But now he's taking it to punch people in the throat. Yep. Which, by the way, I don't want to get sidetracked, but I do want to say, I once talked to one of those special ops guys or whatever, and I said, "What tips do you have for a coward who's never been in a fight? If I ever have to get into a fight," he said to me. And then we're going to get to football.
And we're going to break it down. Don't worry if you're listening now.
No stone, no left unturned.
We are going to break this down. Week 7, broken down in 2 minutes. Go.
Your eyes might be telling you one thing, but we're about to tell you the truth. Yep. Unvarnished.
No subject is out of
I've watched
bounds.
All the games, all 22.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good.
By now, yeah.
All 22 games.
All 22 tape. The coaches film. All the games. Is the what coaches. We call it in the industry.
That's right.
Okay, break it down. Tell me.
So what I once asked, well, before we get into
the cowardly.
Right.
Break that
So down. I said to this guy who I said, I've never been in a fight. What do I need to know? If my life's ever in jeopardy, what if some drunk guy in a bar, whatever? He said, first thing is, if you have been informed by the movies and you try to go off of that, you will fail miserably. Because it's always like guys in movies doing karate and kicking guys in the side of the head and everything. And he said, that will never work.
Yeah, that also feels unlikely that you would suddenly bring that movie
I said,
out.
You've been in these kind of fights? He said, I've been in some of these fights. Yeah. And I'm telling you, they all wind up on the ground very quickly. That's what a real fight is. Right. They will always wind up on the ground. And he said, the best thing you can do if you're in legitimate jeopardy, this is not to attack people with, but if you're defending yourself and you're in some real peril, the neck. He said, do punch him in
punch
the throat.
Punch him in the throat.
Yeah. Hmm. Have you ever flicked yourself in the throat?
Yeah, it hurts. Don't do it, Dave.
When you do it, it gets itchy and it hurts a little bit. Then he did this thing to me. He kind of, I guess, kind of going against his karate thing. He kind of karate chopped me a little bit in the side of the neck, but not hard, like just very lightly. He said, feel this. And he hit me in the side of the neck. I was like, what did you do? And it crippled me. And he said, there's just a spot there on the neck. Find that spot on people. And boom. If you punch him in the throat, if you ever hit somebody in the throat, it will stop them down. Okay. So there you go. That's Dave's tip for the day with fights. Spaghetti, you ever been in a fight?
No, but I've been recently thinking.
You've never been in a fight?
You do realize this isn't your MMA podcast.
I'm just giving tips out. I'm just out. Listen, you know that this is about the game of life.
Like at school, no scraps for me. I get along with most people. But
you've never thrown fists?
But here's the deal. Eddie and I would have this because we both, you know, shaped the same way.
Yeah.
People don't want to get in a fight.
Exactly.
They assume it'll go badly for them. In fact,
bingo.
We would go down hard. I feel like it would be over. Like I'm not a scrapper.
You've been in fights.
I've never been in a fight.
Not any of the three of us. Three grown men having a
I've
conversation
been in a fight,
right now.
Like I played rugby at school, and then you get in fight. Like you know that like evolved into a fight.
Oh, I'd love to see Handsome get.
But
mad.
I'm not.
You've crossed the line this time, mate.
Right, exactly. I throw my glove on the ground.
Yeah.
I haven't accomplished much in the fighting business.
Never had a throwing punch fight in my life. I would be fine though. I hit the weights.
It's funny because so,
I don't think hitting the weight. You know,
you're so testosterone-y on Twitter when it comes to your New York teams, and if anyone dare say boo about any of them, you sound ready to throw hands then and there.
I mean, everyone on Twitter hates the Yankees, so it doesn't really bother me. But
I wasn't referring to the Yankees, but now that you've brought them up, egad.
Dave, I haven't. We're 11 minutes in.
Okay, you're right. You're
anything
right.
Down yet?
And I just am worried about
baseball. Down. I'm here to break down.
I'm
some football.
Worried about our friend Spaghetti. Don't you know that his team suffered a brutal?
Don't care.
ALCS loss.
Don't care.
It was pretty bad. I cried at a bar. Yeah,
did you really?
Yeah, we're off for Oktoberfest. I cried.
You actually cried?
I cried when DJ LeMay hit the home run, and then when they lost, I was just in shock.
As in tears came out of your eyes?
Oh, for sure. This video.
Had you...
I think I tweeted it for, like, briefly, and then I was told to take it down because, like, it was, like, me celebrating. It was in real time, celebrating the home run, but I'll text...
By your girlfriend, Jada?
Someone I was with, yeah.
Someone said, you have to take that down. This is embarrassing for us to be in your midst as you weep.
Exactly. It might have been Emma, actually.
So, Emma VP.
She was with me, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How about that? What do you make of that, Handsome?
What?
Do you respect Spaghetti more or less for weeping in out
of
passion?
I think it's fine. But he's had, he's a front runner. He's on a team. You know, the team has had plenty of success.
I'm not like Sully. He's like Tennessee Devils, Spurs, and Seahawks. He doesn't make any sense. I'm all New York.
And also a tough one for his Giants. But listen, that's not the headline.
Not what we're
right
here
now.
For.
The Danny Dimes phenomenon.
Maybe over.
Feels like it came. But one more thing about this. Let's just complete the circle, and then we'll do something else, Handsome. Quickly, though, where are you on Danny Dimes right now?
He's fine. He was sacked.
Is he fine or is he great?
He made throws. Evan Engram.
That's what I'm asking you. Is he? Or do you believe in him? Yes, this is our guy for the next decade. I sign off right now.
Yes, I have not wavered a tiny bit. He made a lot of really good throws. A lot of good throws in the move. It was raining out. I mean, the offensive line gave up 8 sacks. A lot of drop passes yesterday. It was a wreck. It was a really bad game plan by Shermer too. Really bad play calling. He's fine.
Okay. They were playing the Arizona Cardinals.
They lost
at home to them.
If Pat Shermer knew what he was doing, they realized that the Cardinals give up the most yards to the tight end in the whole NFL, and they did not throw the ball to Evan Engram enough. It was a bad game plan by him.
Well, it is the coaches' league, as we say, in 2019, and Kyle Shanahan is a positive for his pro football team.
No doubt.
Wouldn't you know it, the Niners
squeezed out 3 field goals.
Still undefeated.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that was a delightful game, by the way.
It was in the rain. It was nice. I mean, everything about that's nice, but it was a 9-0 win over the Redskins, who the previous week almost lost to the Dolphins. Let's not get too excited.
In our cynical world, people are falling in line behind you here, Handsome. A lot of people feel like that this is somehow exposed. I've heard some of that game, they should be able to go into our nation's capital and destroy that Skins team. And because they didn't, this has now exposed them on some level.
I don't think that. No. I'm not look at this. You know, I'm not as excited as I would be. When I broke it down, what I was seeing was a Redskins team that played a little better than they have done before, and a 49ers team which probably didn't like going all the way across the country and also didn't like playing in the rain.
Here's the thing. I saw Chris Wessling, our pal, talking about this on social media, I guess today or last night or whatever, and it's a theme here on the DDFP every year, is it's remarkable that these curmudgeonly sports writers who cover the NFL year in and year out haven't figured out that you cannot ride the crest week in and week out and react and overreact and anoint one team because they have a good game. Now the Cowboys are not, because they whipped the Eagles, not didn't just beat them, but destroyed them on Sunday Night Football. This does not improve my opinion of the Cowboys. It kind of validates what I thought about them.
Right.
And I also don't think the Eagles are out
they
of it.
They weren't as bad as they were a week ago when they lost to the Jets and everyone said that Jason Garrett should be fired. And they're not as good as everyone says now because they beat the Eagles and say that they'll be headed straight to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Something in between.
And I am now as far as that goes, margin of victory matters very little to me at this point, week in and week out. Survive a game. It doesn't matter if it's against the Miami Dolphins or in Foxborough. If you survive an NFL game with a victory, then that's great and move on to the next week. And so the Niners did that. But where do you come down on the Niners? In the NFC race now, 7 weeks through, they've played 6 games. What teams, if any, would you place ahead of them with a better chance of reaching Miami, Florida in the first Sunday of February?
I think the way that the Green Bay Packers are playing, and you saw it again yesterday, they feel like a team that, and not to put down anything the 49ers are doing, but they seem like a team that's on the rise and improving week after week, and Aaron Rodgers is finding ways to work with a depleted receiver core.
Well, think about that, right?
Right. That you know, you look at that team, and their defense is obviously playing a lot better than it has done over the last few years. That's a team, I would say. So I think that the Seahawks can get in a scrap with anyone and beat them. Obviously, they didn't.
I do worry about that defense, though, and it was not because...
Which one? Sorry, the Seahawks?
The Seahawks.
Yeah.
They've been predicated, and it's not doesn't mean that they can't skin the cat differently in 2019, but you know, when they were at their best, obviously it was based around that defense and Marshawn Lynch's running, and now it's going to have to be Russell Wilson, because even with Jadeveon Clowney splashing on defense and, you know, the front 7 in general, the sum hasn't equaled the parts so far. But then the other side of that is, what did that Ravens offense really do? For all the songs being penned about Lamar Jackson and the MVP and you know, that he's tracking towards at this point, probably now does have the upper hand on at least Russell Wilson. I still am waiting to see that team, and I guess we'll see it after the Ravens come off their bye when they get to play the Patriots, and they're going to play the Niners, and they're going to play some good defenses, and we'll see how they fare. But the Niners, okay, so Packers,
Seahawks,
Saints,
Saints,
better than the Niners in a head-to-head?
Not a good game. I don't know. I'm not going to make a prediction for a game that may or may not happen in the future. But I think that I would probably favor the Saints in that situation, where I think that they would be able to score more points than the 49ers.
I wonder, too, if...
And then I'm going to throw the Cowboys in the mix as well. Because they were there. You and I both picked them for the Super Bowl.
Didn't we,
Handsome? And yesterday, when you saw them back with their offensive line mostly intact, and at the end of the game, when they knew when the Eagles knew exactly what was coming, Zeke Elliott was just ripping off 8 yards at a time.
It was. I love the pregame stuff. Obviously, we encourage some trash talking and the First Amendment here on the DDFP. We like guys who don't confuse themselves with senatorial candidates and actually talk trash before a game. So I thought it was awesome. Doug Peterson essentially guaranteeing victory, and then Tank Lawrence coming back with just stay on the sideline with some other words mixed in there. I didn't know which was going to win out because they both were talking stuff at that point. That makes football more fun, but Tank Lawrence splashed against Lane Johnson early, and that kind of swung the game right out of the gate, getting it to 14-0. And by the way, you wonder what happens if the Eagles punch that first one in, but then the fumble, and all of a sudden it was 14-0. But yes, I'm with you that the Cowboys are constructed to thrive come January.
Come January, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, Zeke rolling in there. Yeah.
Zeke rolling in there, like, you know, you suddenly get stuff out of the offense as a whole, and the receiving core especially. And then on defense, they're just fun to watch.
If you talk about narratives, the thing with Drew Brees is, and I talked to a lot of NFL QBs about this, because you always hear it's that it seems obvious and maybe simplistic that you say, well, a quarterback in his late 30s, early 40s, you know, their arms just aren't good anymore. And they say untrue. The thing that undoes those guys is, first of all, mechanically are their legs. It's not specifically their arm doesn't lose power. It's their legs. But also they become mortal and they have children. And this is a real thing that not one and not just a couple. I mean, many guys have said the same thing. So there must be some merit to it. They all say, yeah, once you start having kids and stuff, and you know, you're seeing the end of the line there in your career, you just don't want to get smacked around as much anymore. And so you get rid of the ball more quickly, and you're making back foot throws more just to avoid the hits and all that kind of stuff. Whatever it is, now I'm going to go back to a narrative. It seemed like Drew Brees in December and January last year just couldn't get the ball downfield any longer. Yep. All of a sudden, he just looked like, oh, he looks old now. I guess he just ran out of gas now, and he can only throw the ball so far at his advanced age. But if you buy that that's the case and want to ignore what I just said, then maybe Teddy B spelling him for a month and a half.
And fresh.
Maybe Drew Brees is going to be nice and fresh.
Right.
That would work for other sports. That. You would say that about it. That's what the NBA, that's the strategy they employ. Hey, take off some regular season games so we'll have you nice and fresh for the playoffs.
That's essentially the reason that teams that qualify for the playoffs say, hey, take a break, Drew. Sit down for a week or two. Let's keep you fresh.
Yeah, right. And I guess there is something about that dead arm here.
In the season.
Some of those guys do have dead arms, and major league pitchers get dead armed, and then they have to fight through that. And then
I think I buy that. More that theory more than I do that they have kids. I think you know.
Philip Rivers
can rip it down the field. He's got 11 kids.
That's true.
And he's had 11 kids, or he's had more kids even than you for several years now. That's quite an achievement.
So we'll sidetrack because we were talking NFC, but Phil Rivers, man, 2-5.
That was bad.
It's starting to get bad. There is a point at which. And again, I haven't seen them yet this Monday, but I'm sure they're coming. 2-5 teams have this percentage chance.
11% chance of whatever.
Of course, that it's not some sleuthy kind of math that anybody has arrived on. Like, wow, you've really done yourselves no favor by getting to 2-5. Yeah. Also, most teams that are 2-5 stink. They're terrible. Well, that's why they don't go to the playoffs. There are teams this year that are 3-4 and 2-5. And I'm sure there are some every year off the top of my head. I'm a prisoner of the moment, but it does feel like, man, the Chargers, once again, the football gods have smote them for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that one, but at some point you're like, maybe it's not the football gods. Maybe they've smote themselves. Just the end of that game.
That was on Anthony Lynn.
Frustrating to
watch. And the play calling.
On Anthony Lynn on, I mean, you know, I don't think anyone really, so Melvin Gordon obviously fumbled on the final play, but the play before that, when he didn't get into the end zone, he almost fumbled on that play as well. Like, they kept showing the slow motion of him not quite making it into the end zone. It was like, he nearly dropped the ball there.
I can't remember who was doing the play-by-play on that, but I saw it the exact opposite. They said, oh, he fumbled that ball, so it's a dead ball anyway. Well, no, it's not a dead ball. If he dropped the ball literally straight down. He couldn't fumble it forward,
right,
because then that would be the holy roller rule, and you can't fumble the ball forward in the last 2 minutes and recover it for like that, especially into the end zone. But if he had dropped it straight down, I think it would have been a touchdown if he had landed over the line. But the bigger question is,
it nearly came out on two consecutive plays.
What were they trying to do? I know, right. And then after he does fumble, does Anthony Lynn not see the replay and say, oh, Melvin Gordon just fumbled there, we don't want him back out there again. Why? And a lot of people say, why didn't they
touch the ball ever again for the Chargers?
I think they should trade him this week. You know what? That's right. They should.
I think that because Austin Eckler,
he needs a fresh start.
Austin Eckler's great by himself. Let's just leave him there and get Melvin Gordon out of town.
That's a great point. Melvin. Let's take that up with Matt Money Smith if he hasn't been traded by the time we reconvene on Wednesday.
Money might get traded.
I mean,
Possibly.
I don't mean to say that out. I don't think so.
Right.
No, I was talking
about the other guy. Should we trade him to the free money show?
I don't think that's there anymore.
Isn't it?
No, I don't think that show is still around. Okay. I don't know where we could move the sticks, maybe?
Move the stick.
He likes Daniel Jeremiah quite a bit.
Move the money.
Move the money. Okay. We'll workshop that. But it is the thing, were I a Chargers fan today, I would be so steamed at them pulling that the math is, oh, Austin Eckler just did it. We're going to win this game probably, or at least we're in a great spot here with 2 minutes to go or a minute and a half to go to win this game. Eckler did it. He's our savior. What are we bothering with Melvin Gordon for anyway? Wait, Melvin Gordon's in to
on the critical play in the game.
Well, I don't. Why are we doing? What are we doing? Why is he on the field right now? First of all, they line up on first and goal at the one. They line up in the gun. How much do I have to stop my? It's getting very close to being an order, a direct order that the NFL coaches are going to be in direct defiance of if they continue with this. You do not line up in shotgun when you're in short yardage like that. You take away the threat of play action. The defense must pay attention to what you're doing if you line up under center. When you go gun, your intent becomes much clearer and much easier to stop, even if you do turn it to the running back standing next to you. It's different and easier to stop. Yep. Anyhow, so that was a bad thing. But Melvin Gordon being out there and giving him the ball twice is outrageous.
Made no sense.
And I think Melvin Gordon's a delight, but now, to your point, I don't know how you carry on in that locker room. Sorry, I'm the guy who wasn't here for the first month.
Then fumbled away one of your wins.
And, I mean, I know Eckler got us down there, you know, and by a butt cheek came up short of the goal line. And then I fumbled the game.
Either that or they should say, here's our final offer and make him something that probably isn't worth what he was expecting.
What I'm leading to is, though, at 2-5, Handsome.
Yes.
If this thing continues in the wrong direction, does it make sense for the Chargers to say, Phil, we've taken this as far as we can go? You know, you're now a year older. We're going to just, you know, we're in a good spot here.
Yet
another QB rich draft and all this hokum again here. That's the next subject, is where you as a Dolphins fan come down on Tua and otherwise. We're in that window now, everybody, here in October. It comes around every year. Again, back to the narratives that people like, do you not remember what you said 1 year ago and 2 years ago and 5 years ago? Here we are again, like Tua is not worth the first, isn't worth the first overall. And Justin Herbert's overrated and he's not that good and Jake Fromm's not good. Listen, let's just jump to the end of the novel. Those guys are all going to get taken in the first dozen picks. Stop with this nonsense. I saw my first draft rundown and they're like, oh, Tua's just not worth it. He's like I think they had him at like 11th or something like that. If you really think that's going to happen, you're just loco. Tua will don't
He'll
work.
Be the first overall pick. The question is who picks.
So Phil Rivers.
Phil Rivers. I think that would be tragic because I think Phil would probably say we're talking about his 11 kids. I am not. If I'm not playing here, I'm not playing.
What if
I think I wouldn't want Phil to be put out to pasture. I think Phil should decide.
He doesn't have. No, I'm not saying that they have to say. Well, listen.
No, but I think he would make that. I don't think he would go to Tennessee. I want to go to Chicago or
Tennessee.
Maybe, but I don't. I mean, potentially. But
let's dig in on this on Wednesday, but just as a little warm up here amongst ourselves, Spaghetti, jump in here. I suspect the 2020 offseason is going to have the most QB movement in the history of pro football.
Since last year when you said the same thing.
I didn't say that last year.
You actually did.
Did I?
I don't mind.
And we had a lot.
Yeah, we had a lot. So that's fine. I'm not saying
this is going to, that was nothing. That was mere hors d'oeuvre. This is going to be even crazier this year, Spaghetti. Andy Dalton is on his way out.
Andy Dalton's gone.
I'm going to count.
He could be
right
a starter.
Now. I'll give you guys the amount in a second.
Okay. And Case Keenum.
Andy Dalton's going to be replaced by a rookie. We agree that either they get the first overall pick, they take Tua, or they get the second overall pick and they take Justin Herbert.
And I know Andy Dalton is in an atrocious spot this year. I'm not a huge Andy Dalton guy. I wouldn't want him to be my QB. I wouldn't think my team was winning the Super Bowl if the season started with him as my starting quarterback.
A great career as a backup quarterback.
Everybody always says backup. Case Keenum is a starting NFL quarterback.
Right.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's a starting QB. Ryan Joe Tannehill Flacco. These guys are all starting. Yeah, certainly there will be a spot.
I was about to say, he's going to be in that sort of Tannehill type of, you're going to arrive somewhere as a backup, and then he might be Mitch Trubisky's backup, and then in week 5 of next season, the Bears say, okay, let's pull the plug on that. Let's put Andy Dalton in.
So the bottom line is you think that the Chargers would do well, would do best to say, Phil, yes, 2020, you're our guy still.
I think so. But I'm being purely selfish because I love Philip Rivers.
I love him too.
I don't want to conceive of a world where Philip Rivers isn't the quarterback for the Chargers. And I genuinely don't think he's going to say, me and my wife are going to go and find 11 new schools for our kids and all that stuff. I think he's just going to say, all right, that's it, I'm done. And there's no reason why he wouldn't.
I do on Good Morning Football on Saturdays.
I've seen it. Reality, it's fantastic, checks. Dave. You do a great job.
Thank you. I did a whole bunch of who's going to change their costumes in time for Halloween. It was all right. It wasn't my favorite one ever.
Well, because the costume bit was a little forced because it won't be in time for Halloween. Maybe next year's Halloween.
I don't know, but either way,
okay, I'm with you. Okay.
I took some swings, but I really could see all of them coming true. Cam Newton doesn't seem long for Carolina unless Kyle Allen flames out. I think a terrible mistake if you're Carolina, but they might make that mistake.
I don't think they will. I think the thing with Cam is, do you really, Kyle Allen's had a great start to his career as a backup, but it feels like something where he'd get found out. There's a reason that Kyle Allen was not being considered as a starter anywhere else or wasn't drafted with that role in mind. He'd get found out once people see enough tape on him.
Oh, I agree.
That's probably going to happen pretty soon.
People,
Cam Newton's is a difference maker.
People who want the best for the Panthers are saying they,
which we haven't seen for 18, 24 months, is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. They just never gave him the opportunity to get healthy.
Phil Rivers to the Titans. Marcus Mariota out and about. I don't know where he winds up. I don't care about. Nah, somebody will like him. I could see him being one of those guys that, if I have him, I'll turn him into a winner.
The Chicago Bears are going to go collecting those types of quarterbacks. Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill, Marcus Mariota, those kind of guys, because you know that Mitchell Trubisky is not good enough to play for you for next season.
I did.
But you don't have any draft picks to be able to do anything about it.
I did say many times in August, this weird Matt Nagy obsession with the kicker thing, as though Cody Parkey hitting the two uprights in that game on a deflected a ball that was hit at the line, no less, that was the reason that the Bears didn't win the Super Bowl, or that became the spin off of that game against the Eagles with Nick Foles under center there, that became the storyline. I said that fixation is going to undo them in 2019. It was as though that was the only problem for us, or otherwise, who knows how high up we would have risen. You're not focusing on what matters more. You're get a kicker.
Right.
This weird stuff with them. So they're in legitimate trouble. So Mitch Trubisky, I guess they'll ride it out because he's on a rookie deal. They're not going to just.
Well, they don't have
him.
Any way of. They gave away all their draft picks. They're still paying for Khalil Mack next year.
Cam Newton. Well, I guess I could get like if the Raiders don't, you know, I know that we love David Carr and everything else. I'd love to talk to David Carr about this. He would, he probably wouldn't be all that forthright about it at this point. I know that Derek probably is intent on moving to Las Vegas, and the signs are that John Gruden and Derek are pally and happy with one another. But, you know, as they move to Las Vegas, they're definitely looking to make a splash. Would it be insane if you saw a run out there as the starting quarterback, number one, Cam Newton for the Las Vegas Raiders?
I think it would be fantastic. And it would they love to make those type of splashes, but I don't know why the Panthers would let him go.
Because they want to purge a hefty contract. They feel, I mean, if Kyle Allen, the problem where you get jammed up is it's sort of what the Eagles did. What they didn't do this offseason is, all right, the guy won us the Super Bowl, but okay, we're going back to the second overall pick, Carson Wentz, world of talent and everything else. Wentz got hurt again, and we may not make the playoffs. Oh, Nick Foles just won us all those games, and now we're in the playoffs. Oh, now he's won another. Oh, he's going to beat New Orleans. Oh, Alshon Jeffrey dropped it. Hey, Wentz, okay, it's you again now. We're going back to you, even though the sentiment was growing and growing and growing. You got us. We get it rationally. Wentz is the more talented person, but we win more with Nick Foles. Carolina, what are they going to do? They're going to need a devastatingly awful Jake DeLome in the playoffs kind of performance from Kyle Allen
to the playoffs.
I'm just telling you, they're to pull the plug. If he continues to win games, they're going to have a hard time pulling that kid out of there
right.
to put number one back in. That's all. It becomes a very difficult thing to do. The Eagles have done it, and what it ends up doing is, Handsome, is putting so much pressure on Wentz now. I know he's worth $100 million. He seems like a very nice guy. He seems generous with off-the-field stuff. He seems like a sweet fella and everything else, but he has not been the difference for the Eagles so far, and
agreed.
Based on the amount of money he's making, he has to do it. Well, they don't have a secondary. All right, but when your QB is making that level of loot, he must cover up all those other areas, right? I mean, that's the way it works.
No, I'm with you. I mean, but also that's what quarterbacks get paid. I think focusing on the number right now with quarterbacks, that's just what those guys get paid. So if you're a starting quarterback in the NFL and your contract comes up and you're considered one of those good players, then you're going to get paid that amount of money.
Analyze this now, Hanson.
Okay.
Jeff Schwartz, our pal, his jersey flies behind your head on
there
the
it
digital
is.
Wall of Fame here
there
at
it
Studio
is.
66, has said on Twitter, and I'm with Schwartz on this largely, that the Baltimore Ravens, although I was a little surprised, I don't consider the Seahawks to have a great defense, but I did think that they would do a better job of shutting Lamar Jackson down, and they did not. But Jeff Schwartz really is leading the charge. Wait until they play some good defenses, and then you will see them get exposed. And I kind of agree with that.
But we kind of saw it in the playoffs last season.
Right. Jeff Schwartz, though, I think goes a little too far when he says Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Lamar Jackson. How say you?
I mean, I don't know what the context was. But if you're talking about as a pure, like if you put Jimmy Garoppolo on the field, you put Lamar Jackson on the field, which one of them is likely to take your team to a victory? I would choose Lamar Jackson. I think he's a more dangerous weapon all round, but perhaps Jeff Schwartz
simplest
was talking
way to look
about
at it,
like,
right?
as a pure passer, or I don't know.
Spaghetti? Is that what he meant by that? He just straight up says Jimmy G
is
superior?
He's just a better player.
He was going on a string of tweets just saying that basically Lamar's rushing doesn't really matter. It won't help them win a playoff game. But and then a lot of people went back at him just
I don't know what that means.
Saying that like Jimmy G stats, like he has half the amount of total yards, half the amount of touchdowns, and more turnovers. So, I mean, I'm on team Lamar, but
he's just making a broad statement that running quarterbacks don't win in the playoffs or it doesn't help you win. Did he forget Colin Kaepernick in Candlestick against the Packers? I'd never seen anything like it. Then he did it the next year. Well, that was the following season when he went into Lambeau and did that. And Aaron Rodgers led the last few minute drive and put the Packers in the lead. And it was frigid out and everything else. And then Kaepernick just ran less throwing, more running.
Well, I think also that maybe takes into account, like if you if your only running threat is your quarterback, then you limit yourself in the playoffs. But that's not how the Ravens are built. They're built to run with their running backs, and then Lamar Jackson is that extra threat that causes defenses to have to think again. You can do what the Chargers did in the playoffs against them last year and thump the quarterback and you know.
That's what he pointed to.
But that has been proven to work before. But to then say, extrapolate from that Jimmy Garoppolo is definitely therefore a better quarterback, I don't get the lead from one to the other.
It is a little bit punch somebody in the throat mentality. But if you were watching that game, it felt like the Seahawks were instructed, bang this guy. When you get a shot at him, bang him. And they couldn't do it. And it's the thing we talk about all the time.
With Russell Wilson.
Right. Russell Wilson never takes a clean shot. Kaepernick never did. Mike Vick, RG3, for all their great athleticism, got lit up. And another guy who preceded them, Steve Young. Those guys, but he hung on a decent amount of time. But there's just something weird about guys who know how not to get lit up, and I'm still not sure which one Lamar Jackson is. So far, I think he's been kind of lucky because he hangs in there a little too long, and he's going to get popped at some point, and he just does not physically look built to withstand getting hit hard.
Yeah, he's not exactly. He looks like someone who trusts his speed enough to get himself out of situations, whereas a viewer, you're like, whoa, he's about to get, and then he has enough of a step on someone to get away from them or to get out of bounds.
But yes, he does a lot of that stuff that looks bad. Like, it's exciting when he comes to that stop down, and then he accelerates. But it seems like I wouldn't want to be in a static position on a football field with a 280 man running really fast at me. At some point, he's going to get got. Maybe he won't. Maybe they're the second best team in the AFC, or maybe they'll vanquish the Patriots when they go head to head when the birdies come off their bye. Most disappointing team, Eddie Spaghetti. We'll start with you. Chargers, Eagles, or Browns? And more importantly, who cares where they are right now? Will any of them rebound?
I think most disappointing probably is the Chargers because of how they looked on paper. That being said, I almost didn't really buy into them because I feel like this is going to happen. The Eagles, I thought, at least going into the season, had a better rushing attack. They had a pretty good O-line. I thought if Wentz was healthy, there's no reason why he couldn't be a top 5-7 quarterback in the league, at least. So I guess my real answer is probably the Eagles.
Yeah, I think the Eagles end up getting into the postseason at worst, and I'll take them to win the division. But I mean, really? I think the Cowboys.
Really? Wait.
The Eagles to win the division?
I mean, they're only a game back. It's not
I don't know. They got some major issues though. The O-line's pretty bad.
Hey, I guess it. I'm just trying to stay with my preseason pick. You're right. I think the Eagles are going to get to the postseason. Listen. Here's the thing with the Chargers and the Browns and anyone else who isn't again trying to lose games. Like the Dolphins, you're not out of anything. They're not out in this crummy AFC. The idea that you can't get back into it is cutting yourself short if you do that. A lot of these teams, the Browns are not done yet. They must get going.
Browns are definitely not done. I'd say of those three teams, the Browns are the ones that I would trust to get to the playoffs most of all, if only because the Chargers are done.
They are done.
I think the Chargers are done. I don't think the Chargers are going to make the playoffs from 2-5. I think that the Browns.
I think 8-8 can definitely get a wild card this year. It can not only win a division, it might win two. 8-8 might win two divisions. It could win the South, and although obviously the Colts are playing above that right now, but it's conceivable that the way things break out is that 8-8 could win that, and 8-8 may still end up winning the North, although again, that was a decisive in terms of where the season finishes up. The Ravens winning at Seattle disrupts the sort of three-horse race in that division. The Ravens now should be the favorite to hold on there.
I think, unfortunately, your spectacles slightly skew your vision of the AFC North. I think that your Steelers fandom may be slightly.
I'm not picking the Steelers, but if people think Jacoby Brissett can win the AFC South, then why can't Mason Rudolph win the AFC North?
I'm not. Well, hold on. I didn't mean to say that the Steelers. I was talking more about you, I think, downplay the Ravens' potential saying that
I was excited about the Ravens. I know, then after a month, I was like, I guess they're not that
special. That 8-8 is going to win the division makes it sound like you're expecting them to.
I don't think their defense is very good. I don't think the defense
is
that good.
They're going to be better than 8-8.
And I think in any game, if you get them down by 9 points, then they're in some real peril. And that's not good in the 21st century NFL. That you're not really built to hang in a game that you get a couple scores down in.
I mean,
their defense isn't that good.
I agree that their defense isn't as good as it should be, but I don't necessarily agree that 9 points puts the Ravens out of a game.
I mean, they kind of almost rallied against the Chiefs there. But anyway, let's wrap it up because we've set up a lot of good stuff for Wednesday now.
Yeah,
I think we're set on that front.
Yes.
Before you jump out of here, it's time for the food block presented by Bon and Viv Spike Seltzer. It's a good way to tailgate before a game. It's a good way to enjoy the game while it's happening, whether you're in the stadium or sitting on your couch at home. And if you're ready, spaghetti after you watch the Giants and or Yanks,
just cry.
Go ahead.
Just cry into your drink.
Yeah, but those tears will.
Is that what the seltzer is spiked with? Is Eddie's tears?
I think so. That's a good line. Let's use that from now on.
Okay.
Spiked spaghetti. With not with his tears. No, Bon and Viv won't like that.
Spiked with Eddie's tears.
What do people do is the question for today in the food block is, do Englishmen tailgate?
No.
No such thing.
No, it doesn't exist. So in the UK, for the most part, stadiums are kind of, which is cool, in the city, like in a neighborhood, a little bit like more like Lambeau than they are like
Field. Right.
Like most NFL stadiums. So what will typically happen for a soccer game is you would show up pretty much, you will try and show up as close as you possibly can to kickoff, and then you'll purchase a meat pie, which is non-specific meat parts from non-specific animals encased in a pastry crust. And you'll enjoy that or not, but that won't matter because it'll keep you warm and you're having a nice time.
A meat pie. Well, that's one thing the U.S. has over the U.K.
Yeah. The tailgating does not exist, which is why I think, NFL fans in the U.K. and in other places around the world, which don't typically have that same thing, love that aspect of the NFL.
I have wondered about that.
The intriguing part of being a football fan is the food and the showing up to a game 3 hours before kickoff just to hang out with other fans.
Will Rams and Chargers fans be able to tailgate?
You can't tailgate in Mexico, no. We've for all of the London games and then for the Mexico game, we put on a kind of, an NFL tailgate experience, but it's not the same.
No, I mean, once in 2020 around the new stadium.
Oh, sorry.
Is there area for that? Because when it was going to be at the convention center, when they were thinking about that, it was going to be physically difficult to find space to do it. I wonder about that. Handsome, this is our billion dollar idea is that we blaze the trail of tailgating to your homeland. Let's teach them. If they're going to adopt our gridiron, if we could show them the way, we'd be heroes forever in that part of the world, right?
Yeah, I think the problem is that in order to become a hero, you'd have to destroy people's homes to put a parking lot in. I mean, it's literally, wasn't that the lyric of a song?
Footnotes in history.
Right.
Their homes. That's not a problem. Hey, and last thing. Although that we should maybe save a music discussion for Matt Money Smith, who is a music wizard.
He's the music.
Have you ever seen Tool or heard Tool, the band?
No.
Spaghetti went and saw them on Sunday night. He loved it. Staples.
Sunday night.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
No, nothing. It was
a great show.
Yeah, they're one of the best live acts you could see. But I mean,
the front man dressed like Kobe Bryant,
No, that's the drummer Danny. He wears a basketball, literally the shorts and jersey of whatever city they play in. So they played in Utah a couple days ago, and he wore like John Stockton.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw the picture you posted of that. That looked good. All right, we'll dig in on Tool and some other things. And right now, Handsome, thanks for jumping into 66 here.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Did we do all right?
I enjoyed breaking it down with you.
I guess we did. I want to also talk about the Tua thing. It's really kind of a weird thing that Tua may, this buzz that Tua is like, well, he's not worth the first overall pick.
Well, that's just dumb.
If that's how it winds up that you guys don't end up with a QB, I don't know what.
First of all, they're not going to, they have three.
Yeah, I guess.
First round. They're not going to not take a quarterback with one of those three picks. But assuming, as I do, that they will have the first overall pick, I don't know how they don't take Tua in that situation. I am genuinely worried about the game against the Bengals in Week 13.
Oh, that's good.
Because I think the Bengals are going south.
Let's see if we can go there. Hey, Spaghetti, that would be a treat. Is that in Cincy or Miami?
It's in, don't know. I want to put something to you, Dave, while Eddie looks that up. So every year we hear about the 1972 Dolphins cracking open, opening the bottle of champagne when the last undefeated team loses. Do you think we could encourage the 2019 Dolphins to get together year after year, even when they're old and gray and grizzled, and flush a toilet when the last team loses wins their first game?
I think they could
do these things in parallel.
I think we need to press that. Who day? Bengals day. After week 13, that will begin.
That'll begin
the perennial tradition.
Yeah.
After they vanquish them.
Yeah.
After they are vanquished.
After they're vanquished.
By the visiting Bengals.
Then it'd have to be the
Who day? Flush the can. And then we do it. I love it. All right. That's a good call, Handsome Hank. All right. Thanks to you. And now let's turn it over to a guy who's really emerged and into the Broncos defensive scheme here. He comes from Nevada. He is a free agent pickup for them, filling in nicely since Bradley Chubb went down. It's Malik Reed. What's happening, Malik?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Well, not too bad. Not too bad. And first things first, congratulations. You just got engaged.
Yeah, I did. I appreciate it.
How'd you do it?
It was last Friday.
What'd you do?
We went to this steakhouse in Denver, Del Frisco's.
Yeah, heard of it. Yeah, good place.
Yeah, I had them hide the ring there. They kept it like in a safe.
Oh, and you were gonna say in like mashed potatoes or something, and that would be not good.
No, that would've been too messy for me.
Yeah. So, and she said yes. Yeah.
She did.
That would be bad if you're like an NFL football player and you propose and the woman said no, right? That would be embarrassing, I bet.
That would be terrible.
So you were a free agent coming out of Nevada, but you're from Alabama and your old man played basketball in the state of Alabama. How come football instead of basketball?
Well, I was a huge basketball fan growing up. Still am because of my dad. But I got back into football in high school because my friends and my older brother had played too. And I just noticed that I could do, I had a skill set out there that I could, build upon. I just saw it as a route to get my college paid for. So I got back into it and just took it seriously, and it just took off from there.
Yeah, play into your strength. That makes good sense to do that. So what's your NBA team? Are you going to try to be a local supporter and go with the Nugs, or do you have some previous roots?
And I'm a Lakers fan originally because I'm a huge, probably biggest Kobe fan ever. But, I definitely support the Nuggets. I'm going to try to get out and catch some games this year.
Well, listen, L.A.'s not that far away, so obviously you think the Lakers are going to beat out in this what a lot of people are forecasting going to be Clips v. Lakers showdown all season long. You think the Lakers are going to win it?
I believe so. If they, iron out the little issues that they have as far as, being new teammates and everything, I think they're going to be pretty good. When you have LeBron, you always have a chance, and then you add Anthony Davis to the mix. It just make it all the better.
But we're not like I heard you say you're a big Kobe guy, and I've talked to a lot of Kobe guys here in Los Angeles who get a little crazy about it. You're not one of these kooks who says like Kobe is as good as LeBron or anything like that, are you?
No, I say
careful
Kobe,
now.
In my opinion, Kobe is better than LeBron.
I mean that's LeBron. It. Cut it off, Spaghetti. I can't have that on this show.
Yeah.
Kobe's better than LeBron at what? What part of the game is he better at? Shooting from
every part.
Every part. Come on. Listen, Kobe every can't part. Guard. Kobe, I mean, Kobe can't defend LeBron every spot on the floor.
He was an all defensive player like most of his career.
Yeah, when he was guarding those twos, he couldn't jump up though. LeBron can guard the center on a lot of teams.
He don't guard a center the whole game, though.
All right, listen. You know what?
Probably like maybe one time down the court.
I'd love to know. Here's the great question. First of all, He's not – Kobe – Magic Johnson is better than Kobe. Do we agree about that or no?
No.
Even Magic said
that Kobe the best Laker there ever was.
That's because he's trying to be a nice guy, and at that point he was in the front office. He's trying to be complimentary of the guy. What's he going to say? He's got to see Kobe in the hallway every day. He's just trying to, yeah, you're great, Kobe. You're the best, yeah. How many titles would Kobe have won? Without Shaq Fu, how many titles would Kobe have?
And without Kobe, how many titles would Shaq would have won? You could turn that either way.
That would seem to make sense, but I would say that Shaq would have won three titles with or without Kobe Bryant. I think that they still would have pulled out this game.
No way. Kobe was averaging like 30 to 40 points in that final.
Listen, all right. I you know what, Malik? I don't know, but I'm just telling you, if I had Shaquille O'Neal on my team, I would score a dozen points a game. Because that's the amount of attention that he commanded from defenses. The perimeter guys had the sag in to try and stop in vain 34 from doing his thing. Then Shaq would just pitch it back out to me. Damashek knocking down, 35, 40% of his three balls.
You disrespecting Kobe right now. You disrespecting his greatness.
I don't want to do that. Let's talk about you a little bit. Then you got so your first career sack on the phenom of 2019, or one of the big stories of the 2019 season, Gardner Minshew. Any sort of interaction with that guy?
No, I ain't really have much interaction with him. I just know he's been getting a lot of pub for the things he's been doing down there in Jacksonville. So it's definitely a tremendous accomplishment, to get the first sack.
Pretty cool, yeah. I mean, he's a late round draft pick. You're a free agent guy, and you two are crashing on an NFL regular season gridiron. That's pretty cool. Is he a yappy kind of a guy? Who's the chirpiest QB you've been out there with so far?
No, he really didn't talk that much, and pretty much like I don't even think I hear the quarterbacks when they be talking.
Oh no,
not really.
Do you talk to them?
These are the ones I play. Nah, I just go out and, do what I got to do. I don't say too much.
Now you let Vaughn and those guys do it?
Yeah, but Vaughn, he don't say much on the field either. He's like a silent assassin out there.
Yeah, but he is a funny guy off the field. I know that. Has he taught you anything that's brought you along in the last several months here?
Oh, he taught me a lot. Just from, how he sees the game, how he studies, like, tackles and, how he attacks them. And just, like, little things, that I can add to my game and, be better.
When you walk through the facility there in Denver, does it occur to you that, man, this franchise has had so many good uniforms over the decades. Why are we wearing these ones? Because these aren't no offense. I don't think these ones are as good as some of the other ones.
Yeah, they have some nice throwbacks. I know the color rush is coming.
Oh, the all orange with the old school? That's nice.
Yeah, it is. So, I'm excited to, see how that looks.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
But, and then we wore the navy ones last week. And those are probably one of the best ones, I played in.
I kind of like those too, as a matter of fact. I just don't like, there's something about the orange jersey with that hat that that doesn't tickle my fancy. But you can pass that along to Elway if you want to. You don't have to. But if you want to let him know my thoughts, you can tell him. And what's the first thing now that, you're making it here? What's the first thing you bought with your fancy NFL money?
I think the first thing I got was probably a car, an apartment.
A car and an apartment. Ooh la la. And are you going to take to the slopes this off season?
Take what?
Take to the slopes, skiing. The big deal out there, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. And I've been thinking about it. I went to school in Reno. And I said I was going to learn how to snowboard, but I never ended up going. So
Look at this.
I'm gonna have to figure out sooner or later.
Look at what the Fates did for you. They heard you say that, and they said, we're going to give him one more chance at this thing. So now, look, that's the next thing you buy is a snowboard. And if you wouldn't mind, make sure somebody shoots video of it. You shouldn't do that while you're learning the snowboard. That might be a lot to manage. But have one of your friends shoot the video and then send it to us so we can put it out on social media to see how you're coming along.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right.
Start on a beginner course, though.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we can, if I need to, yeah. Well, why don't you come out to L.A.? We can only go like an hour and a half, 2 hours away from here. We can learn to snowboard. And on our way up there, while we drive, we can have a heartier discussion about Kobe versus Magic versus LeBron, Kobe is the third in that group. But clearly.
I could talk about it all day.
All right. Well, listen, then you come in here. You come in here and face to face, we'll square off and we'll settle it. I'll settle your hash on this one, though, because I mean, Magic Johnson, because Magic said it doesn't make it so. Come on, Kobe Bryant's better than Magic.
Yeah.
All right, Malik. You know what?
Greatest
I don't want to spoil. It's a special time for you right now. You just got engaged and everything. So I don't want to argue it too much right now. But listen, you go ahead, get it all together there in Denver. I know it was probably a tough Thursday night, Friday morning for the Broncos, but things starting to take some shape in the games just prior to those. And really, the story would be a little bit different even if that weird, wonky last minute against Chicago hadn't happened. I think you guys would be buzzed about a little bit more than people are talking about you right now. And I think you have a pretty decent chance in your next game coming up. How say you?
Yeah, no doubt. I feel like we definitely, you know, got things on the right track. Like, each game, you could just see that, you know, that we're doing good things and, you know, that we have a good football team. I just feel like it comes down to, you know, the execution. And definitely, I feel like that's the biggest difference from, you know, college to NFL. Just, you know, how much more your execution matters. Because I feel like every team has, you know, good players. So it comes down to, you know, how much more you can execute the plan that you put in throughout the week than that team. But I'm definitely, you know, excited to get back out there with the team and going to try to get a win.
Yeah, that's what they say. They say after a bad loss, that's the thing you're chomping at the bit to do is get back out there and show what you're about. Well, with Vaughn out there with you and Fangio coaching you up, it sounds like you're in a great spot there. Then after that sports season ends, then you and I will take to the snowboards. We'll figure that out. We'll watch some NBA. I'll help you out with that. No, I don't know how, but that's the point. We'll do it together. And then and then when we're on the ski lift back up for another run, we'll be talking about Kobe versus LeBron. It's going to be a great time.
Oh, yeah.
No, all right, Malik. Listen.
Hold on. I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
A LeBron fan.
Yeah. Because I admire greatness. There's never been a player like him. Kobe is, at the minimum, you have to admit this. LeBron is unique. There's never been a player like him in the history of NBA. Whereas Kobe is, forgive me for saying, he's a paler version of Michael Jordan. He's basically got the same game as Michael Jordan, just not quite as good.
Just not quite as good.
That's right.
So why don't you say he's not quite as good as Jordan if he got the closest game to Jordan? All right.
I mean, that's a fine question. I think that that he is one of the 15 best NBA players of all time. And listen, he's one of the all-time greats. When you start getting into that top half dozen guys, and I eliminate the centers, that's a different category. But when you start getting into the top half dozen or so,
top 12 and you're not even including the centers?
I'm not including. Okay, maybe he would be in my top 12. Maybe he'd be top 12 if I'm removing the centers from him.
Who is your top five without centers?
Magic, Bird, Jordan, not in that order. Jordan's number one.
Larry Bird, LeBron, and then Kobe.
That's right. Larry Bird is better than Kobe. That's right. You didn't even see Larry Bird play. How do you know? You didn't even. You're not old enough to even have seen him.
I've seen replays of that game.
I'm trying to think who else would be ahead of him just to upset you. I just want to think of somebody. Okay. How about this? I'll put Kobe in my top 10 and we'll call it a day.
I guess that's the best you can do.
All right. TBD. We're going to put a pin in this one and we'll figure it out down the road. All right?
Yeah.
All right, Malik Reed. You're a delight. Mazel tov to you on the engagement. Continued success out there in that orange and or navy jersey. Enjoy the color rush, and hopefully we'll talk with you sooner rather than later. Maybe once we get a little deeper into the NBA, we'll see who's right at about, maybe right after the regular season here in the NFL. We could figure it out a little bit further.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good, man. I enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks so much, Malik. I enjoyed it, too. There he goes, Malik Reed, everybody, the outside linebacker of the Denver Broncos.
Dave Damashek.
All right, nice guy. Yeah, Spaghetti, let's get him back for some NBA talk. Who's right, though? He's crazy, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's the best of all time.
Well, you could say Michael Jordan is better, but Kobe thing, it really is a cult. The Kobe cult is a weird one. They just think Kobe, like, oh, I don't know. I take him or Michael Jordan. Well, you know, they're kind of neck and neck. You could tell that Malik thinks that.
He does. I don't get it. That is a weird thing I've experienced in L.A. I don't get why there's not enough.
That's right.
It exists. O'Neal. Like, are they bitter about that he left for the Heat? Like, I don't know what it is. Like, he chose to come to L.A. after, like,
right,
leaving Orlando. And Shaq is, he changed the game. He's amazing.
It's right. And also, it's, Kobe wanted to get traded. He demanded to get traded and almost did get dealt away to Chicago.
Exactly, yeah.
But because he was here more recently and then did win a couple more titles, it is funny, though, that he's the guy that Lakers fans side with over Shaq Fu. All right, good times, everybody. Thanks again to Handsome Hank and to Malik Reed and to you, Eddie Spaghetti, back with Matt Money Smith and Handsome Hank on Wednesday for our video and audio shows. You can check out all our work, our little video segments and otherwise. NFL.com/DDFP. Thanks as always to Zaxby's, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.